All right. Well, grace and peace to you. Here we are, Thirsty Thursday, diving into God's Word and a few words from Brené Brown in her book, Rising Strong, with the hope that when we leave, we're a little bit better and brighter than when we got here. So to start out, I'll tell you the theme. The theme today is cultivating laughter, song, and dance, letting go of always being in control. Cultivating laughter, song, and dance, letting go of always being in control. So hear these words from Luke 21, 5 through 19. Now, when some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, he said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." They asked him, "Teacher, when will this be, and what will be the sign that this is about to take place?" And he said, "Beware that you are not led astray. For many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and the time is near. Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first, but the end will not follow immediately." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes and in various places famine and plagues, and there will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. But before all of this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance. For I will give you words and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls." The word of the Lord. Hello, church. The destruction of the temple and signs and persecutions that are to come. This is a perfect complement to this theme. Letting go of always being in control. Letting go of always being in control. We got an issue here because all of us like to shape and form and lead into life. We like to be in control. It's what we do. And some of us, it's what we do best. But today, hands are open, minds are open, hearts are open, and we need to have some open space thinking here. Because the reality is, so much of life is out of control. Today, can any of you do much about what's going on in Russia? Can any of you do much about what's going on in Haiti? Can much of you have much to do with what's going on the north side of our city in which we live? And the answer, of course, is no, no, no. Can you really help control what's going on in the schools within your school district? If we're lucky, maybe we are living and loving and serving within one of those schools, leveraging some opportunity to bring life. But to say that we shape the whole, no, there's always much more going on. And of course, in this text, there's this thing about being persecuted and torn apart and betrayed, all because of Jesus, or because of the belief in Jesus, or giving your life over to Jesus. And that's certainly one element of pain that we may feel in life, but there's always more than meets the eye. Nation rising against nation, kingdom against kingdom, earthquakes, famines, plagues, all of that. And we are to look in and through that. Where is God? How is God on the move? How will God create again? And how do we participate in that? So letting go of always being in control. The first part of this, cultivating laughter, song, and dance. How do you cultivate laughter, song, and dance with these heavy, heavy things going on? The answer is, folks, I don't really know, but I'm going to talk about it a little bit. You see, one thing I learned years ago traveling in Haiti, somehow, post-earthquake, when all had fallen to the ground, we focused up on rising through the ashes and being made new. But what you saw there is a people down on everything, yet rising up to sing and dance and laugh again, saying, we will give ourselves to this. We will do the work. We will work together, and we will change our world. Is it faith that picked them off the mat? Is it relationship with others that picked them off the mat? Is it their resilient spirit, a sense of perseverance that picked them up on the mat? Yes, yes, and yes, it can be all of those things. And it probably is indeed all of those things and so many more. But when you lose control, you begin again by working and willing for what is good. Brené Brown says that laughter, song, and dance, they create emotional and spiritual connection. They remind us of the one thing that truly matters when we are searching for comfort, celebration, inspiration, or healing. In laughter, song, and dance, we are not alone. And isn't that true? I mean, you might stand up in your living room and dance on your own, but it's so much funner to dance with others. Right? It's so much more fun to just gather people together, to be about a communal healing, a communal moment of inspiration, to look each other in the eye and say, look what we can do, not because we're such good at being in control, but because we together are better in bringing about life. You know, the gremlin that holds us back from laughter, song, and dance in life is the desire to be seen as, quote, as my kids would say, cool and always in control. Playing it cool is how the ego tries to protect itself. If I don't play it cool, people will judge me, we say. They'll think I'm immature, stupid, foolish, all of those other kinds of things. Why are we so worried about what others think versus staying true to authentic self and authentic life? We don't want to give over our freedom of being fully alive to be in control and be cool. We want to unleash the passionate, goofy, heartfelt, soulful expressions of who we are and not betray ourselves in this world in which we live. One author wrote, he said, I now see being perceived as weird as a compliment. My aim isn't fitting in. I need to be true to myself. And in doing that, I will form authentic connections, and that will mean living wholeheartedly. Think about, church, the best artists and musicians and all of that in the world. They create out of nothing. They create by inspiration. They let go of control and they give themselves over to that art, to that movement, to that song. It's like my friend in South Sudan, Wal Reet, when he said, man, a keyboard can change the world, because instead of living in a refugee camp of doldrums and death and in solitude and loneliness, a keyboard brings people out from their tents, out from their anger and their hate, and it moves them to song and dance and laughter and play. Getting a little bit out of control in this way allows us for life to bubble up. You know, Aristotle said to avoid criticism, say nothing, do nothing, and be nothing. I'll say that again. To avoid criticism, say nothing, do nothing, and be nothing. Is that how we're called to live? To be silent, to be passé and passive, and to just stand along the wall of the junior high dance room? Or are we called to get on the dance floor and to move with God's spirit of life so that there can be a chance to create, a chance to go through pain and go through that suffering, knowing that the story is not complete, that there is something more yet to come? If we believe in a God of resurrection life and resurrection hope, and that finally has the ultimate say over death, then even being out of control in a world that is spinning out of control, there is order and there is life and there is hope. I love imagining life in that way. of people the world over laughing, singing, and dancing. Letting go maybe of what we've thought, what we believe even, to make room for more. More of God, more of neighbor, and more of this world. Brené Brown, when she talks about this, Brené is really clear about the rumble and the revolution that's to come. You got to rumble with these things that have held us back and down. You got to rumble with these things of the world just as the world rumbles on. But the revolution is ours in which to create. I think most of those inspirational moments in the world move us from passive to active. But we deal with all of the emotional setbacks, the criticism, and all of those things. And that can get us to freeze. But God wants us to thaw out, to melt down a little bit, so that we can be poured over life in a new way. When we're hurt, we continue to rely on God. When life hurts and we don't know where to turn, we rely on God. We never want to get to that point where we're saying, well, none of this really matters and none of this is ever going to change. We want to continue to stay open to how God could speak into our life. And to that end, church, today I want to give you a thought around this. An active exercise, which is to move from a fixed mindset to a growth mindset. And here's just one example, and you can Google this and look this up and wrestle with this a little bit more. But a fixed mindset is to be totally locked down and locked up. A growth mindset is to continually be expanding and being nurtured into growth. So a fixed mindset, here is an example, to be predetermined, to be predecided on something, where the growth mindset of that would lean into development. Okay, predetermined to development. A fixed mindset would be comparison. I'm always comparing myself to others. But a growth mindset would be into acceptance, moving in that direction, again, staying open. Fixed mindset is resistance, pouring your feet in cement, saying there can be no other way. A growth mindset would be to experience motivation and to move. A fixed mindset is to focus in on criticism. A growth mindset is to focus on inspiration. A fixed mindset is to be inertia. A growth mindset is feedback loops. And a fixed mindset is guilt, where a growth mindset is effort, what it is that we're giving ourselves to. I call all of this part of that emotional intelligence. And as we've been going through Brené's work of rising strong, cultivating these gifts of gratitude and joy, intuition and faith, creativity, play and rest, calm and stillness, meaningful work, laughter, song and dance, all of that. Cultivating authenticity, self-compassion, a resilient spirit, letting go of what people think, letting go of perfectionism, letting go of numbing and powerlessness, letting go of scarcity, letting go of the need for certainty, letting go of comparison, letting go of exhaustion, letting go of anxiety as a lifestyle, letting go of self-doubt, letting go of always being in control. Ultimately, this moves us toward life. And so today, what revolution will you give yourself to internally in your spirit? For Brené says, if we are brave enough, often enough, we will fall. But we will also have what it takes to get back up. And the beautiful thing about the Christian story, the Jesus story in the world, it does not limit the pain or the suffering. It does not cut those things out. It is not about rainbows, unicorns, and fairy tales. It acknowledges our hardship. Jesus speaks into it, much of life being out of control. But within that, he points to hope. He points to life for the endurance where we gain our spirit, our soul, our life into him. And that's why we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Because it truly changes how we live in the here and now. And so, church, on this day, stay thirsty to cultivate that growth mindset. And as you do, get up and dance. Get up and sing. Draw people together, laughing, loving, leading, serving in ways that bring about life. Because even though we're out of control, we still can do something about it. All right. Stay thirsty, my friends.